I love church history. And church history tells us a little bit, very important, about this feast day. We can trace it back to the 4th century, about the 340s, the first time that something like this was celebrated in the church. Now let me situate you in time for what was going on at that time. From the time of Jesus' resurrection to the beginning of the 4th century was a time of really bad persecution in the church. The martyrdom of the apostles, the martyrdom of the first fathers of the church, and the continued martyrdom that followed them until the Edict of Milan in about 305, when Christianity was finally legalized officially under Roman law. And so here about the 340s, you're emerging out of that time frame, and the church is taking stock of, oh my goodness, our church is built upon the blood, sweat, and tears of a lot of nameless people, and a lot of those whose names we still remember. Let's contemplate what they did for us. What did they do? What they did was, they fell in love. That wasn't a church of catechism and RCIA and those things. We can trace back all of the practices that we do, but it was a church that was founded on the example of love. You cannot imagine. We cannot have any concept of what those people went through unless we understood that they were madly, helplessly, head over heels in love. Now, if you've ever experienced that kind of love, and I would imagine that most of you have, if you have ever experienced that kind of love, crazy, unreasonable, hopeless, foolishly in love, then you know what I'm talking about. Because when you get to that point in your love life, everything that was important to you before is no longer important. And the love in front of you is the only thing that counts. That kind of love is tested. You better test it. Because what's coming next is serious. What comes next is you're going to jump off a cliff for your love. You're going to deliver yourself for your love. Everything you have, everything you are, everything that you could possibly imagine that your life is or has or will be has just been reoriented to a new compass, the object of your love. Now, if it's the love of a spouse or somebody that's going to be your spouse, everything changes. You might have had a timeline in your future that you wanted to accomplish certain things. Throw that out the window. That one's gone. We're talking about hopeless, foolish love. That when you fall in this love, you've tested it. You've realized this is the real McCoy. I don't want anything else in my entire life. And I don't care what the price is. That's the kind of love we're talking about. And most of you have been there. And if you go back there, you'll realize that is the love that can make you say, I don't care if it's going to cost me my life. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's that kind of love. We can't understand this in terms of catechism. You have to understand it here, in your heart. And the church was realizing in that early fourth century, we are the product of a whole lot of crazy, foolish, helpless, head over heels lovers. Thank God they did it. And we recognize the gift that they have given us, the example that they've given us, so that we can aspire to be just as much in love. What lover doesn't want the best for their beloved, willing to sacrifice themselves for their beloved? You see it all the time. And this is the love of the saints. And then the church can declare unanimously that these are in heaven with God. Interesting little vignette. You learn a lot about a parish when you walk into it from outside and you begin to see how they do their intercessions, how they write out the intercessions for their Sunday masses. And so when I got here, it was strange for me to find, pray for our patron saint, Sacred Heart. It doesn't even work in good grammar. But the main thing is the Sacred Heart is Jesus. And the Sacred Heart is his love for us. He's not our patron. He's the object of our love. Now, a patron can be a saint. And what we're praying for here is our patrons, all the saints who came before us, starting with Mary, Saint Stephen, Saint Paul, Saint Peter, the 12 apostles, and many, many who followed after them and are now in the canon of the saints, in the Roman canon, as an example of these are people who were head over heels with love. And so one of the things that I encountered this week, we had to correct, is, and let's pray for our saints. That was in the intercessions, in the draft. I said, no. The saints are praying for us. We got to get this oriented in the right direction. Let's turn this train around 180 degrees. We don't pray for the salvation of our saints. They are praying for our salvation because they love so much. We're asking for their intercession because they're the ones that are face to face with God. They're the ones that have that face time with God, that relationship with God from their hearts. They are so in love with him, and they didn't stop loving us. That's what makes them our intercessors. They made it. They're there. And Jesus gave us the promise of that when he told the disciples, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. So when the church says that somebody is a saint, they're saying, this is a person who loved. Now we make a serious mistake if we associate the concept of saints with this mythical concept the secular world has of perfection. There's no such thing. These people smelled. Maybe they didn't have all their teeth. They had to bathe every day just like we do. Maybe they cursed. Maybe they had defects. Maybe they had problems. But oh, how they loved. And that's the message. So what good are they to us? I've heard it said, all those dead white people, how are they going to help us? And the point is, no. They're people from every race and tongue and creed. And they are believers in Jesus Christ. They have come to God out of love. Head over heels. foolishly, recklessly, hopelessly in love. And that's why we're here today, to remember the love they had and to ask their intercessions. Today, we don't pray for them. Today, we give thanks that they are praying for us. Tomorrow, we pray for our dead. Not today. Today's a day of thanksgiving.